Cardinal Sarah, people say it both ways. I say Sarah. Cardinal Sarah has resigned. Not surprising. The man turned 75. His Eminence turned 75 last June, and Pope Francis has accepted the resignation. This resignation, I think, for many people, is symbolic of the change in guard. You need to remember, Pope Francis appointed Cardinal Sarah to this post. It's not a hangover from Benedict. He was placed there by Francis, and now he has been removed. Cardinal Sarah has been known for his clarity regarding same-sex marriage, homosexuality in the Catholic Church, and also liturgy. He is seen as a conservative, reform of the reform type liturgist. He's certainly not a trad. He's not a traditionalist, but he does advocate for things like ad orientem and traditional continuity within the Roman Rite with regard to the Novus Ordo. So him moving on and being replaced by, who knows, I have a little concern about that, and I'll talk about it later in the show. This is a symbolic move for a lot of people. So we're going to break this down, his age, and also a little bit of what I talked about last week, which is how many cardinals and curial officials are still serving past the age of 75, and yet Cardinal Sarah does not get to serve past 75. Is there a reason for that? All right, before we get started, let us ask God to assist us, and we'll come before him praying the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, the Our Father, Oremus. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, advenia regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Mighty God, please look kindly and bless your servant, Cardinal Sarah. Pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, we can only talk about Cardinal Sarah for what, I mean, the most important thing here is what he represents. I think if you've been watching this podcast for the last few years, you've heard me refer to Cardinal Sarah as perhaps someone who could be a pope. And I think that within the Catholic conservative world, he has always been the dream pope for conservative Catholics. He's African. People like that. He's conservative when it comes to sexual morality. He's conservative when it comes to Novus Ordo. So he seems like he'd be the ultimate pick. And people are concerned, well, now that he's resigned and he's 75, is he out? No, of course not. He still will be able to vote until he's 80. Even if he's past 80, he could still be elected. Now, I, Taylor Marshall, don't think that he will be elected. I'd be happy to eat crow on that. I'm much more pessimistic about the next 5 to 20 years. I think we'll be seeing a Francis, he may not be called Francis, but the next Pope will be a Francis 2.0, and there'll likely be a Francis 3.0. You just look at who are the cardinals who will be voting in the conclave, and you start to get Saving a Miracle, an intervention. Make sure we're all praying those rosaries. Again, I'd gladly like to be proved wrong on these things. But I think for the conservatives, he signifies one of us. Now, I think I've done this before, but I want to give you sort of a landscape, a map of the different ways people think in the Catholic Church. And I actually do think this is a global. I don't think it's just an American thing. Again, I'm glad to be corrected on it. But within Catholicism, there are, I think, three, perhaps four ways in which people think. Let's start on the far left. Well, Taylor, there's no such thing as right and left in the church. I know. But I only got so much time and you understand what I'm using here. Okay, on the far left, we're talking about James Martin, Cardinal Supich, pretty much all the German bishops, and yes, Francis himself. This is a group that sees the Catholic Church as the kingdom of God, but it's expressed and hallowed by diversity, updating, accompaniment, modernism, kindness, mercy, enculturation. These are all the buzzwords, and not just buzzwords, but the way that they approach Catholicism. Right? It's the James Martin Club. It's the Jesuit understanding of what it means to be a Catholic. And it produces the likes, we've talked about this before, of a Joe Biden or a Nancy Pelosi. They identify as Catholic. They seem to have this pride that they're a Catholic. But they interpret or modify the name to mean something that not one Catholic on planet Earth in 1850 would identify as Roman Catholicism. If you take that approach, and I think James Martin would actually agree with this. He would say that we've come a long way, we've progressed, we've come to understand the nature of God more, his mercy, his kindness, his compassion, his long-suffering. We also have had major advances in science and culture and politics and medicine. And so, yeah, our Catholicism should look and act differently. Okay. That's one camp. Now you have what I would call the moderates, and this is almost the majority. I would say in America, 70%, 80% of your bishops, your priests, and your lay people. They wouldn't go as far as that. In fact, they like to, you know, maybe they go to some conferences and they read the catechism, and they go to Mass every Sunday or at least two times a month, and they're committed, but they're not far to the left. They're not going to maybe promote pride events at a Catholic church. They're not going to maybe feel comfortable with Pachamama idols, statues that aren't Christian in a church. But they're also not going to make a fuss about it, right? They're just sort of going along, getting along. Okay, now we're moving over to the right. Over here, we have conservatives, people who I think who love and appreciate and pray for and respect Cardinal Sarah. These are people. And I would say, I think most of my audience is probably in here. People think, oh, Taylor Marshall, he's so rad trad. He's a traditionalist. He's Latin Mass, Rosary, all these things, which is true. But I found over time, most of the audience is kind of in this conservative area where they attend they attend the Novus Ordo. They would prefer Ad Orientem. They prefer altar rails. They would, you know, they think that if it's going to be your first communion, you should have communion on the tongue, but it's kind of dirty, so we can have communion on the hand. And they might go to Mass every Sunday, but they're okay with women Eucharistic ministers and altar girls. And they're the JP2 generation. They love John Paul II, and they love Benedict XVI. And they're generally a part of movements such as Legionaries, before they were nuked, Opus Dei, Third Order Franciscan communities, Third Order Dominican communities, some Third Order Carmelite communities, etc. They read periodicals like First Things. This is your conservative group. And then, all the way over more, is your traditionalists. And they said, you know what, we've had enough I don't want to attend the Novus Ordo anymore. I don't want communion in the hand. I don't want women Eucharistic ministers. I don't want the cheesy songs. I'm tired of trying to make it work. They go to the Latin Mass. They go to the Eastern rites, and they're kind of the weird stepchild at the moment. But what we've seen over the last 2 years is that the conservative group is getting torn. The liberals and the moderates have one hand, and the trads have the other hand, and that conservative group is getting ripped down the middle. Why? Because of Pope Francis. Pope Francis is moving things left, and he's giving a voice to Cardinal Gregory and Father James Martin and Cardinal Supich, and the Germans are running rampant. The dubia are unanswered. And so it's kind of this, well, should I go to the Latin Mass and do that thing? And should I start wearing a veil to Mass? And should I stop receiving communion in the hand? And all these questions. These are the questions that I get peppered with constantly by people. And I think it's great. Keep on. But I think we are kind of in a moment right now where people are reassessing what does it mean to be a Catholic. And that raises questions on Vatican II and the liturgy and the Eucharist. And then COVID raised even more questions. What if the bishop says no more confessions? What if the bishop says no Mass? What if the bishop says no Easter? What if the bishop says no extreme unction and no last rites? Suddenly, people are starting to think, man, in 2021, not only would someone in 1850 not recognize anything going on here as Catholic, but people in 1950, even 1960, would not recognize this. Okay. I think, back to Cardinal Sarah. I think Cardinal Sarah's resignation and his sort of riding off in the sunset, unless he somehow gets elected Pope or something, otherwise his career, he'll become less visible. I think this is another trigger point for those conservative John Paul II generation, Benedict XVI venerating people who are Novus Ordo, who wanted what Cardinal Sarah offered, Novus Ordo, Ad Orientem, etc. He's going to be replaced by someone, and I very much doubt it's going to be someone who has the liturgical conservatism, and I use that with quotes because I'm all about the traditional Roman Rite, but that Novus Ordo conservatism, I don't think we're going to see it replaced. Now, a few years ago, I was able to attend or to go to the Congregation for Divine Worship. Up until the last few days, Cardinal Sarah is the prefect. He's the number one guy at the Congregation for Divine Worship and the discipline for the sacraments. I was very excited that I might be able to meet Cardinal Sarah. This was in Rome, in the Vatican, and was invited with a group to go to the Congregation for Divine Worship offices, which is, at least it was then, if you're standing in St. Peter's Square in the Piazza and you're looking at St. Peter's, if I remember correctly, if you're looking at the church, be on your left side. It's over there. Not over towards the church where the Congregation for Divine Faith is, but back in the piazza, if you're facing the church. Went up there. Unfortunately, Cardinal Sarah could not make that meeting, so he wasn't there. There's his door, says Cardinal Sarah on it. So instead, the meeting we had was led by the secretary, the guy under Cardinal Sarah, and it was this guy. Bishop, I don't know if he's Archbishop or Bishop, Roach. I think that's his name, Roach. We sat at the table and there's a Q&A. And the more questions that came on about the divine office, liturgy of the hours, Mass, ad orientem, altar placement, all these hot topics. This guy was batting 900. That's 90% for all you non-Americans. On the liberal take on stuff. And I was like, this is the guy who's working with Cardinal Sarah? I didn't say anything. I just sat and listened. But this guy is progressive liturgically. I do not like what he is saying. And he had a few denigrating things to say about Latin Mass, traditional liturgy, etc. I was like, this guy, for me, is kind of channeling Annibal Bonini. That's the vibe that I was getting. So I was a little bit disappointed. Now, up until that point of having visited the offices for the Congregation for Divine Worship, I had kind of assumed that it was a little bit more conservative. Because you'll remember a few years back, Cardinal Sarah recommended across the world for priests to celebrate Mass ad orientem. I think it might have been even like an Advent thing or something. And immediately he was corrected and had to come out and sort of correct himself on that through influence of the Vatican and Pope Francis. So I had assumed that his office would be liturgically conservative. Again, not trad. If you want to talk trad and traditional liturgy, you got to walk over to the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. That's where the Ecclesia Dei office is. Well, it's no longer called that, but the office is still there. So anyway, from that moment forward, from that experience, I deduced that the Congregation for Divine Worship is not so conservative. Cardinal Sarah? Yeah. For Novus Ordo, yeah. So my concern is they're going to put someone in there who will be more like the man I was just talking about, Roche, and less like Sarah. And if that happens, what could we see? I've jokingly referred to the Novus Ordo. So we've had the Novus Ordo, which, by the way, trads didn't make up. That's a term that Paul VI used. But the Novus Ordo came out in 1969, promulgated 1970. That was a while ago. That was 50 years ago. It's no longer Novus, new. It's no longer modern. There's been a lot of developments and updates in humanity since 1970. And you know what the modernists like to do. Modernists like to modernize. The modernists gonna modernize. So they need what I jokingly call the Novus Ordo, the new order. I suspect they're not going to issue a brand new liturgy. What they're going to do is make the rubrics and the options, is what they call them, the options more broad, more general, less strict. Perhaps, God forbid this happens. Oh, Lord have mercy on us. Please, Lord, don't let this happen. They allow bishops' conferences to compose Eucharistic prayers that would be appropriate for the local cultures. This would be a nightmare. That's, I think, the worst thing we could see happen in the next 5 years. Now, I'm going to close up with just a few closing thoughts about Cardinal Sarah. Unfortunately, I've never met the man. There was one time long ago, it was 2015, I think, I was in St. Peter's Basilica. At the time, I was teaching some seminarians. And I was, so if you go into St. Peter's towards the high altar, and you go past the high altar and you go left, there's a transept over there where St. Jude the Apostle is buried. And I think sometimes holy hours are over there. Anyway, I was over there just praying. I was there for a considerable amount of time, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, in that part of St. Peter's. And there were confessionals all along the apse area, different languages, Italiano, right, Spanish, Polish, English. And there were people going to confessions in these places, and I was praying and sitting there. And then at some point, many, many Africans, seminarians, they were in cassocks, but I could tell they were very young, and they didn't look like they were priests yet. They looked like seminarians. They all came in and sat in the front, many of them, 12, 20. And then, I'm pretty sure it was a cardinal, comes in a cassock and stands at the front there and starts preaching, fiery preaching, about clerical celibacy and clerical continence, and how the priest must be pure like an angel and must be celibate and custody of the eyes and on and on. And he was really going. It was in English. They had sort of that, I don't know what you call it, sort of a Francophone African accent. So it might have been Guinea where Cardinal Serra is from. But it was in English. And he was preaching, and there's all these young seminarians, and I thought, man, this is incredible. I'm so glad that I'm getting to witness this. And then what was interesting, my friends, is there was two confessionals right near where this archbishop or cardinal was preaching on clerical celibacy. The priests who were hearing confessions got out of their confessionals and went over to other confessionals to confess while all this was going on. It was very fantastic. And I think Cardinal Serra, whether that was him or not, I don't know, I can't remember. There is a vitality. There is something that we American and European, North American and European Catholics appreciate about the zeal of the Africans. And there is this hope that perhaps in our luxury, in our immorality, and in our wealth, and in our apostasy, that will be re-evangelized by these good African bishops and priests. Be wonderful. Please God. Please God. I think there's generally this understanding, especially amongst what I call conservative Catholics, that the European system is broken and the American system is broken. How many Americans look at their bishops like the early church looked at the bishops and the apostles? Oh, my bishop is Bishop Polycarp. What a holy man. What a holy man. I'd follow him anywhere. I love him. He teaches so well. He preaches so well. He's an ascetic. He's a holy man. It's like if you've ever met anyone from Rokor, the Russian Orthodox Church outside Russia, the way they speak of their bishops, oh, Vladika, they love their bishops. They see their bishops as holy people. No one in America talks like that about their bishops. That apostolic witness and admiration and veneration. It's because we're all spoiled here. The lay people, too. I'm not saying let the bishop. We lay people are spoiled. There's this idea, I think, amongst the conservatives, man, if we could just get Cardinal Serra in as the Pope, he would bring this simplicity, this sort of apostolic veneration, that the papacy once again would be revered, that we would go to Rome on pilgrimage. I'm like, oh, I can't wait till Wednesday when I see the Pope. Can't wait till Sunday when I see the Pope. Oh, I pray the rosary for the Pope. Oh, did you hear what the Pope said last week? It was so beautiful. Oh, so encouraging for my family. Did you read? The new encyclical came out. The theology is beautiful. You're going to love it. We all want that so bad. And we know that it's not going to come without a miracle from Europe or from Africa. So I think, well, another version of it is there's no way Francis is the Pope. Benedict is still the Pope. Benedict is still the Pope. Benedict is still the Pope. There's this, I think what we're going to see as time goes on, Cardinal Serra will ride off into the sunset unless he's elected Pope. Pope Ben XVI will go to his reward and pass away. And then we're going to buckle down and we're going to suffer. And I think more people are going to become traditional. More people are going to look to the saints, to the church fathers, to the desert fathers, to the medieval great saints, and say, what does it mean to be a Catholic? What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ as a member of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church? So, if you're discouraged about the resignation of Sarah, don't be. But also, I'm not here to say, don't worry, it's going to be okay, everything's going to get easier from now. It's not. It's not. I forgot to mention, I mentioned it before, but I didn't mention it in this episode, this article by Ed Penton. And it shows how many officials, you can see it right here, in the Vatican, in the Roman Curia, are over the age of 75 and still working. In other words, Francis has not accepted their resignation. Here's the list right here. Look at this. And it goes on down here. You know, here, 79, 79, 78, 78, 78, 77, 77, 77, 76, 76, 76. So Francis does make exceptions. There are curial officials who are over the age of Sarah, and they get to keep working, but not Sarah. Cardinal Sarah's done. It's over. It's over. So what do? Pray the rosary every day. Pray the rosary every day. You're not on the team. You pray the rosary. You practice penance at Fatima. What did the angel say? Penance, 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 triple penance. We fast. We pray. We're joyful. We catechize our family. We go to church. We find a traditional Latin Mass, the Eastern Rites. We rediscover what it means to be Catholic, how it used to be. We know something happened, whether you want to call it the eclipse of the church. That's what I like to call it. The passion of the church. Something has happened. And we have to ask the question. There's so many voices telling us, what does it mean to be Catholic? The modernist, the moderate, the conservative, the traditionalist. What is it? What made sinful humans, men and women, transform into the great saints? How did Saint Benedict and Saint Scholastica become those saints? What was in the church that molded them to become great saints? And how do we do that? How did St. Thomas More become Thomas More? Or Saint Therese, the little flower, how did she become that? How did Maximilian Kolbe become St. Maximilian Kolbe? It wasn't, I'll tell you, it was not through what most of us experience at the local diocesan parish in our time. 2021. What we are experiencing with a lack of sanctity and a lack of inspiration in 2021 in our local parishes was not the experience of these great saints in history. So I think we can appreciate Cardinal Sarah for his work, pray for him, but also we need to realize that the changing of the guard of everything that people thought was safe, secure, and sound with John Paul II and Benedict XVI and the Cardinal Sarah and all that, it's going to go away. The good news is that heresy and apostasy and idolatry is self-destructing. It cannot sustain itself. Sexual immorality cannot sustain itself. Heresy can never sustain itself. It always dies. It's like cancer. It has to be on something living, but it itself is not a true organ designed by God. It's chaos. And as chaos, it always leads to death. So, When we see heresy in the church, confusion, we will realize under God's order, in the natural order and in the supernatural order, these things self-destruct. They collapse in on themselves. There is going to be a solution. It's just, I believe, you can disagree with me, I believe it's going to be 20, 30 years off. Maybe I'll live to see it. Maybe. But things right now, to me, seem like we're in eclipse. As Our Lady said at La Salette, the church at Rome will be eclipsed. All right. Well, let's pray the Hail Mary. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, if you like the video, please like the video. Please share the video on Parler. Parler's back. I'm on Parler. Gab, Facebook, Twitter, and please subscribe. I want to ask in particular, I have heard in the last week so many people saying, Marshall, I'm no longer subscribed. I was subscribed and my bell is off or I'm totally unsubscribed. Most people saying they are not subscribed at all. So if you think you are subscribed, please check underneath the video and see if you are still subscribed and hit the bell to be notified. I apologize. I don't know what's going on. This channel, this tube, they're playing games with us, folks. They're playing games. Also, it's Lent, and I just want to encourage everyone and remind them, be joyful in Lent. Do not fast and be grumpy and mean, and I say this to my own shame because I've done it so many times. I could bring Joy in right now, and she'd have a whole litany to tell you about. Don't be grumpy. Don't be grumpy. Christ says when you fast, anoint your head, your face, look good, present yourself to the world. Fasting should be a moment of joy where you say, you know what? I can live my life without whatever you're giving up. TV, without secular music blasting in the car every time I turn the ignition, without 3 snacks every day, without, name it, cookies, treats, a bowl of ice cream every night. There's a great joy in living a simple life. We rich, lazy, lax Americans forget that. We need to be reminded that we can live and survive in Christ without the luxuries that we've grown accustomed to. Rip them out. Rip them out by the roots this Lent and live a simple life. A simple life. Read the Bible. Stop reading the newspapers. Read the Bible. Pray the little hours, the little office of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Pray the rosary. Pray the Jesus Prayer. Get yourself a chotki. Pray the Jesus Prayer. Pray the rosary. Pick up a traditional catechism. Read the whole thing. The whole thing. We need to get serious. Need to get serious. And there's great joy in that. Fasting should bring you joy, not misery. Is it hard? Yes. But you know what? Playing sports is hard, painful, sweaty, uncomfortable, but fun. All right. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says, you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless. Godspeed. Happy Lent.